Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for a Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. My guest for this morning is Marcela Murris. Born in Rio de Janeiro, Marcela is an actress, writer, lawyer, and a monthly columnist for the Orange County Register in Southern California. Marcela and I will be discussing her debut sci-fi novel, The Chosen of Gia. Good morning, Marcela. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It's beautiful here in Dallas, Texas, and it's a pleasure to have you on the air with me this morning. The Chosen of Gia is a very interesting read. It is a great story for young adults, and I tell you, the book is laced with plenty of humor and educational material as well, so congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Let us start by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life. You have a very interesting life from childhood to this present moment.
Well, let's see. Like you said, I was born in Rio, Brazil. And I was a very hyper kid who loved sports, movies, books, and cartoons. And I started writing because it was the only way to convince my dad to give me some money to buy cartoons and candies. Mm-hmm. And when I was a teenager, I started working as an actress, and I also started working as a writer. I used to write theater plays, basically. And a few years later, I graduated, I became a lawyer, and less than 5 years ago, I moved from Rio to California, where I wrote my novel, The Chosen of Gaia.
Interesting. So, do you miss all the carnival in Rio de Janeiro?
Yes, I miss, it's very hard. I miss more, like, of course, my family and friends, and I do miss the holidays, too.
The only thing that's not on your little intro is Marcela is an actress, writer, lawyer, and a monthly columnist for the Southern California Register. The only thing that's missing from that is a samba expert.
I don't think I'm an expert. But, I mean, it's kind of hard to not know how to samba if you are kind of born in Rio, you know what I mean? There's no way you can simply ignore the fact that you have
to
learn.
There you go. Yeah. The reason why I said this is because I do ballroom dancing. Part of ballroom dancing, we have samba. Of course, the ballroom samba is totally different than street samba.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
So I wanted to bring that up. I thought it was kind of interesting because you have such an impressive resume. And the only thing missing is, of course, you know, the samba. You mentioned that you started writing when you were a child. Tell us what actually got you into writing. I mean, first and foremost, you wrote to impress your dad, to get a lot of things from him. But when did you really discover that you love writing? To some people, it could be very tedious. And to some people, it comes quite naturally. And in your case, obviously, it comes quite naturally.
Mm-hmm. I think it's not about writing only. I think I like to tell stories mainly. Mm-hmm. And I've been a storyteller since childhood. I mm-hmm. love to create fictional characters and fake backgrounds and share with family and friends. And I used to come up with horror stories to scare my friends, you know, at school. And I think only at the age of 16 that I actually had my professional story produced, because I was doing a theater play, and it got canceled a day before its premiere, and I was devastated. So I decided, you know what? I think it's the right time to write my own story. So that's how I started.
Very interesting. Like other writers, do you daydream a whole lot?
Oh, yeah, definitely. All the time.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you're able to create all the different characters and so forth in your writings, I presume.
Yeah, definitely. And then it's kind of funny because when you share with the others, they're like, how come you're thinking about this? You know? like you're crazy or something. And that's like, and with Mr. Alvin, how come you don't think about that kind of thing?
Right. Wonderful. That's true. When you were growing up, were you a happy child?
Yeah, very, very happy and hyper and, like, had a bunch of friends, and that was an amazing childhood.
Interesting. So what is the inspiration behind The Chosen of Gia?
For me, utopian world, it's not only technologically advanced, but inhabited by morally evolved people who constantly promote goodwill. So the main idea of the book came to me through a dream. When I was 16, I had this dream about a teenager, like a boy who was invited to be part of an advanced and hidden society. And yeah, my grandma and my mom, I think my mom too, they would talk to me about dreams. They would spend, like, every morning, they would say, so, like, you know, how was your night? Did you dream about something interesting and stuff? And so she would say, like, she would talk about it and say, oh, maybe it's like, you know, an advice, like an alert for you or some sort of guidance, you know.
Okay. Very interesting. So why did you choose to write this particular dream out aloud?
So the book was actually based on a script that I wrote years ago. I decided to write, you know, to basically give it a try. And so I wrote the script, like, as soon as I think, like, 2 years ago. And I got an amazing feedback from a major studio. So, but instead of submitting to other studios, I decided to reinvent it as a novel. I think it was the only way to express Albert's often confused and vulnerable development, I guess.
Interesting. Were there challenges in writing the book?
Well, the language. I was it was a challenge to write in English, since I it's basically you have to change the way you think, how you compose a sentence, and I think it was not only that, I think because I was used to write theater plays and screenplays only. So it was also like a challenge to work on scene descriptions and feelings. That's something that you don't talk about much when you're writing screenplays, and you know.
Interesting, but I think screenplay writing, does it help you quite a bit in writing the novel from a perspective of being able to create dialogues?
Exactly. That's, I love writing dialogues. That's it comes very natural. It's very easy. But it was definitely a challenge in terms of working on the descriptions, you know, when you're when you're writing your plays or screenplays. It's just like a 2 lines max, just so people can have an idea of what's happening, where it's happening. But, you know, if you're writing a novel, you have to go deeper into emotions and descriptions, and so people can actually, like, have a clear understanding of you know, where the characters are.
They have to get the feeling, because scripts writing is up to the actor to act out the feelings.
Yeah, you have the action, right? Totally.
Please give us a synopsis of the book.
Oh, sure. So 15-year-old Albert has just received an invitation that could transform his disappointing life completely. It's a chance to belong to an advanced and hidden society that only reveals itself to a select few. Immersed in a new world of crazy technology and intriguing peers, Albert will overcome his fears enough to ignore a few suspicious details. And soon he will find his family dragged to the center of a scandal that threatens to tear them apart and erase their identities. So a conflicted Albert must find his strength to challenge authority by relying on his newfound allies and gift for revelation. So that's mainly the idea.
Okay.
It's about a normal family striving for their place in a perfect world.
Interesting. You had mentioned in some ways the story, it sort of correlates to your lifestyle, your living. A part of you is in the book itself. So mm-hmm. how does that develop into the various characters in the book?
I always love the stories with interesting characters whose personalities could somehow make a connection mm-hmm. with some aspect of my own life mm-hmm. or even remind me of someone I know. Mm-hmm. Because like The Chosen of God is full of characters like that they are inspired by people that I have met before mm-hmm. and I'm sure you will relate to it, like to them at least one of them as you enjoy the novel.
How much research did you do before writing the book?
I did some research on the myth of Atlantis. Mm-hmm. to help shape the story. Right. I only knew the basic, you know, information about the myth that it was a very advanced civilization on an island and was submerged by a natural disaster. But I think it was interesting to learn that actually Plato is the main source of the myth. Mm-hmm. He was the first one who officially mentioned Atlantis. And the funny thing is that although he claims it's a true story, he tells it through a fictitious character named Solon, who apparently mm-hmm. learned about Atlantis during one of his stays in Egypt. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very interesting.
Okay. Were there books when you were growing up that you were reading that inspire you towards the sci-fi area?
Actually, I think I liked all kind of books. I liked, like I said, I liked stories and things that would, you know, bring some sort of action and mm-hmm. interesting perception. I don't know. I think, like, I really liked movies a lot, mm-hmm. like sci-fi movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, something that inspired me when I started writing when I was a kid, of course, was Goonies mm-hmm. And like, Spielberg movies I used to love, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought, so I think it has a little bit of that, like, of childhood memories.
I see. The low thriller and low crime and a little conspiracy kind of thing, it just sort of intrigues the mind. That's what you're looking for. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the idea. It's a light sci-fi. It's not mm-hmm. like a sci-fi, you know, per se. It's more like a lighthearted book. Mm-hmm. I think that's mm-hmm. like Spielberg's movies. It's more like it's not something. It's more like about the characters and the feelings and the moment, you know, and finding your strength. I think that's what I like about his movies, and there's a lot of humor,
mm-hmm.
of course, and the book as well. I think people can actually have some fun reading the book.
Okay, how did you come up with the various characters in the book? Alberts, Ruth, and all the various clans, all the people. How did you come up with these characters?
Oh, they are inspired by people that I've met before, like, mm-hmm. like friends, and I don't know. I think it's kind of hard. I don't think I have actually someone specific that I think it's more like a blend of mm-hmm. of different people that I met and that I try, like Albert, for example. I think he's very naive, so I think I tried to show a little bit of that, like, you know, more like naive, a naive kid that has a big heart and is still trying to learn who he is and learn about himself a little bit more. And I think that was basically the inspiration that I had.
How much information in the book is fact and how much of it is fiction?
I guess 100% is fiction. Because even information about Atlantis is based on a myth. Mm-hmm. So I cannot say that it's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's all fiction.
I see. How about the relationships that evolve in the book itself? Is that something that you have experienced yourself in your relationship with your family, your friends, like you had mentioned? Those can be considered as real because those are something that you have encountered before. And not to give away too much from the book, the prejudices, the adjustments in life, are those facts that you can testify yourself that you have gone through over a period of time?
Yeah, of course. It's I know how hard it is to move to a new place where you do not know anyone, and changing your lifestyle and leaving, you know, friends behind, and actually just like have. You basically only have faith that you're going to have a better future and things are going to go well, but you're still like you're very scared, and so I think like you said, of course, that inspired me to write about this and how hard it is to be the new kid, how hard it is to leave everything behind and start a new journey, and I like you said, like and of course how people tend to judge others so easily, you know, without knowing them. So, of course, I talk about that a little bit as well. Not that I had a hard time here, or I don't think I actually have had any problems. But I think like hearing people, I think that's something that actually I do not like judgments. You know, I don't like people who judge others, and I try to talk about that, and I bring it, you know, into the book, to, you know, so people can actually think about that.
So those are the important facts that why you wrote the book and wanted to get the story out in some ways, besides entertaining others.
Yeah, definitely. I think the book. It's more like for you to think about human nature, to think about our hearts, like
connections, relationships.
Yeah, exactly. And it's basically like you have to think about it. It's gonna come to a time that it's like. You know, it's gonna make you think about it. How people are, you know, our nature itself. Can we change? Even if we have an imperfect society, can we change our instinct? Can we become extremely nice and friendly to each other? Or we are always gonna be like have that kind of thing that we do not know how to explain, but makes us, you know, judge others or you know, not believe in everybody or I don't know. It's gonna make you think about human nature.
In reading your book, I got a lot of information from a standpoint of myself being a young person at 18, moving to United States at that time to go to college, mm-hmm. and certainly I can relate from your standpoint of view. Of course, you may have come to the United States much older than 18, not that mm-hmm. much older, but a little bit older than 18. And obviously, the language barrier, you speak Portuguese, and everybody else, of course, in Southern California speaks English, and predominantly, I guess, in some ways, Spanish. So Portuguese is isolated situation. I'm originally from Malacca, Malaysia, and we have a huge Portuguese settlement in Malacca, Malaysia. And,
wow, really?
Yes, Malacca, Malaysia is like the Jamestown of the United States. That was the original place where the Portuguese came in terms of exploring the world for spices. Mm-hmm. And in this case, of course, Brazil was the same situation where the Portuguese came and so forth. So believe it or not, but I don't speak Portuguese, but I love Portuguese food. So I do love that. So there's a little connection there from that standpoint of view. But I can understand in reading your book, what I gather from it is this is wonderfully weaved into the book, the concept of human nature, acceptance, and so forth. And in each and every one of us have a certain amount of gift. Of course, in this case, Albert have a very, very unique gift. But in every one of us, there is a treasure. And if we focus on it, if we expound on that treasure, it can help us and, of course, help the people around us.
Definitely.
Right. And you were able to carefully write this thing down in terms of making it a wonderful a young adult novel and weave the science and technology and so forth into it and talk about basically human nature, relationships, family relationship, the strength and the weaknesses and those kind of things in a very playful manner and very entertaining manner. Does your background working with the aerospace industry help you with the technological aspect of writing this novel?
I guess not much, actually. It's because it was Gaia is a very advanced planet, so
right.
It was very hard to think about, you know, how technology would be like, but the good thing is like the book is a light sci-fi, so it does have some science but it's mainly like because I think science maybe like you said because of my work I'm not sure. But I think the novel talks about science as an ally, like to find means to protect the natural world. And I think while also increasing human life expectancy and the quality of life mainly. So I think science can help us achieve the perfect body, like a stronger immune system, more resilient body, I guess. I think that's the idea behind the book. I don't know. I think it was how my research started, you know.
Let's talk about that, the research that you did. I mean, in terms of giving you some ideas to obviously to be put into the book. So tell us a little bit about that.
I think, like I said, I wanted to talk about Atlantis. I wanted to talk about human beings. I didn't want it to be like a planet of different species. you know, it's just like I just wanted people to relate to somehow. So how to be like for us, like even if you think about Earth, how would we be like? If we have a perfect society, and I think people would evolve, of course, morally, and technology would follow. But that was the idea, you know, to have an amazing society. But also, we are still humans. We still have our own issues, and we're still trying to raise our instinct, but it's still like our animal instinct. But it's still hard to. I'm not sure. Like people are still not 100% perfect. Even if you think you have a perfect society, maybe it's not that easy. You know, maybe it's just it sounds very good in paper, but it's actually very hard to achieve. So, but at the same time, I think people would definitely have, especially Gaia, people are more connected with nature and they have more respect, you know, and they treat each other better, of course, than nowadays. So I kind of try to talk about that, you know, what if we actually... what if we start doing that? And What if we start, I don't know, because nowadays you see all those utopian books out there, and I think, like, of course, people love to talk about the end of times, and so I try to do the opposite. I try to think about what would make, you know, what we need to do to have a perfect society. Mm-hmm. What would be the next step? What would be, you know, things that we need in our society?
Mm-hmm. And so you're basically talking about, although science and technology might be precise, however, when you inject the human factor, that's where it gets a little grayish, because we all have our natural human instincts. You can't necessarily get rid of jealousy, prejudices, mm-hmm. and so forth. And hopefully that over time, as we evolve spiritually, that will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I think, I don't know, humans are humans. We are mm-hmm. driven by ambition, malice, jealousy, like you said. And mm-hmm. the thing is, like, can we erase our animal instinct and live in endless harmony?
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
What was the most difficult thing for you to write about the book?
I think just like what we just talked about, like a technology, you mm-hmm. know, and a perfect society, to come up with a perfect society. That was very hard.
How much of you is in the book?
I think a lot, because like... growing up, I lived in more than 10 different houses. Mm-hmm. I went through several schools. So I think I know all too well the feeling of being the new kid. I mean, moving from Rio to California was even harder because I didn't know anyone here mm-hmm. other than my husband. So mm-hmm. I basically had to leave everything behind to start a new journey, just like the Klein family in my book.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think there's a lot about me.
Okay. What do you enjoy most about writing the book?
I really like to talk about dreams,
mm-hmm.
to pass along the idea that dreams can carry hidden messages, mm-hmm. and that they can actually give you some sort of guidance. I guess that's what I most like.
I see. Okay, interesting. What would you like for the readers to gain from reading The Chosen of Gea?
I think it's a novel that not only takes the readers into an atmosphere of fantasy and suspense, but like you said, it also promotes the values of diversity and self-esteem. At the same time, it's a lighthearted book that deals with universal experiences like adapting to a new place, relationships, first love, learning who to trust. So I think it's a book for you to have some fun and actually, you know, think about all those issues.
Will this book help to bring about the better understanding about wonders of science and technology to today's society?
I think, like I said, the book is a very light sci-fi, mm-hmm. so you're going to have some fun reading about, you know, the advanced technology, and it also talk about science as a way to achieve a better society, like a better world, and to maintain a better world, and to help you to be more, I don't know, resilient, you know, like your body mm-hmm. be more resilient to injury, mm-hmm. age, disease, and, you know, how science can help you to have a better quality of life.
Do you identify with any of the characters? I mean, I know your hero is Albert, but are there any other characters that you identify with in terms of this is who I am on the inside? Or this is who I like to be on the outside.
I think I'm more like Ruth, actually. Mm-hmm. I think I'm not afraid to speak my mind. I'm actually very honest about my feelings and things that are going through my mind. You know, and she's very like that, and she's very friendly and funny. So like that's I'm more like Ruth. You know, I kind of live life like her without worrying too much, without, you know, I don't know, thinking, I don't know, she has a light way to live life, so I guess I'm more like her.
I see. How about the inner you? Is that the inner you or the outer you?
I think both. I think both. Because, I don't know, Ruth, she has a lot of, she's very determined, she's very outspoken, and she's not afraid to embrace opportunities. Like, and I think I'm like that, like, when an opportunity presents itself, I actually give it a try. I don't think much about what if, so I'm very impulsive, which I think is good.
Okay.
And otherwise, I think I would still be living in Rio and not writing screenplays, not writing theater plays. Like I said, my first theater play that I actually wrote was mainly because the writer decided to cancel her theater play. So imagine like being 16 years old and like rehearse a play for 4 months, and one day before someone comes to you and say, "Hey, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen."
Right.
So, and like, I think usually what's the normal reaction would be like, and it happened, like to all the other actors, they were like they cried and they were like, sorry. And they, even like some, like just eases the hard life. And I did the opposite. Like, I was like, you know what? If you don't want me to do your play, I'm going to do my own play.
Yeah.
And I, you know, invited a director and, you know, helped, you know, casting. And I think that's more like Ruth. Like I'm saying, she's like, you know what? If this is not happening the way we want, let's find a way, you know, another way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why I think I'm more like her. Of course, not 100%.
Right.
So don't start reading the book out. This is how we're selling it. No. It's an inspiration.
Right. You are, by nature, has that sort of a leadership tendencies anyway, right? You like to take charge.
Yeah.
You want to be in control. And you believe that people have to self-determine themselves on where they'll be, you know, what's right, what's good for them to succeed, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful. I mean, that's what drives a person's success.
Yeah, I think that I'm still trying, of course, but I think, like, all the things that I've achieved, like, all the success that I got, it was basically... If I think about it, my theme would be just do not give up, you know, keep going. And, and I think that's, most people actually tend to give up or to be sorry or I don't know. I think like we need to do the opposite. We need to, you know, bad things happen, of course, to everybody, and we need to be strong and find our strength, which is like the book talks about, and, you know, keep going, just do not give up.
Right. Who were your heroes when you were growing up?
Interesting. I don't think I actually have, any model, I guess. It's just of course, I think like more my parents, if you think, like more like my dad and my mom. They were amazing parents, and they would, like, every time that I would, you know, be sad or you know, start feeling very frail, and I don't know, they would find ways to talk to me, to make me not tell me, you know, what
right.
things are saying. Like, I don't think you should go and say, like, don't do this. They would find ways to make me realize by myself what I needed to do and what would be the right thing to do at that time. So I don't know.
They were basically good counselors for you because they gave you options. They gave you solutions that you can choose that you feel most comfortable.
Exactly. I don't know. They were friends, of course. Mm-hmm. They were mm-hmm. my friends, but they would also give me guidance. And,
right.
But of course, they would make me come up with my own solutions,
right?
My own goals, and that's what I like most about them. It's like they would, of course, they would tell me, "Hey, this is what I'm thinking," but not in a pushy way. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Not in a way that would make me, "Oh, you know, I need to do this. That's the right thing to do." No, it's just more like, "Okay, what I should do then?" Mm-hmm. You know, like if I say something to someone and make them sad or mad, and then I would come to my mom and say, "Hey, this is what happened today. Do you think I was wrong?" And she would not tell me, "Yeah, you were wrong." No, she'd say, "Oh, think about it. If someone comes to you and say," and she would not say, of course, the same thing. And, you know, and you're this mm-hmm. kind of person, how would you feel like?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that gave me a different perspective of, you know, and also I think it's also it helps me to treat others and like I said, to not judge others.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I love my parents for that.
Interesting. Very interesting. With the increase of people migrating from their country of birth for great opportunities in other countries, how can your book help them? Because we talk about how you moved from Brazil to Southern California, and I moved basically from Malaysia to United States. And in reading your book, we talk about there's some sort of migration here involved, and we talk about how the process of living different cultures and their challenges as well as their rewards. How can your book in some ways help people to relate to those kind of things?
I don't think it will, like, help them per se, but I'm sure they will relate to it somehow. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to leave everything behind and start everything from scratch, like a new place, you know, new friends, new culture, new food. Like, everything's new, right? So mm-hmm. it is very hard. It's very hard to adapt, I guess. And a new language, of course, like, it's also even harder, I guess, because you don't have that in the book, but if you're talking about yourself and myself, and I think, like, I think it was very hard for me. Like, the language was very hard. It's still, it's like, because like in Portuguese, like in Brazil, I was a lawyer and a writer, so I don't know. I think I felt safe, you know, knowing mm-hmm. my way, you know, knowing the words that I wanted to use, like the perfect word and mm-hmm. the perfect sentence. And mm-hmm. English, I'm still, you know, struggling. Of course, it's going to take a while. And I've been living here for 4 years and a half, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I only knew, like, the basic, you know, so it was mm-hmm. hard to start, you know, going to a place and trying to come up with a conversation when you actually have no idea how to start a conversation. You know? So, or like the person is talking, you're like, and you have no idea what they just asked. So I think it's hard, but I think it's all about finding the strength you need to keep going. I don't know, maybe trusting yourself and just working harder or that you usually would, and I don't know. That's what I think about.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, that's very, very true in what you just said in terms of being able to adjust. What are some of the lessons we can learn from your wonderful book?
I think the Children of Gaia raises questions about the nature and hearts of the human race. And the novel will make you think it would be possible to one day, not possible, but it makes you think, like, is it really possible to have a perfect society with absolutely no problems, crimes, and humans are humans, we make mistakes. So it's going to make you think about that, like I said. And now, so you're going to have some fun, I'm sure. It's a lighthearted book, like I said, that deals with universal experiences, like adapting to a new place and relationships and family and that kind of thing.
Interesting. Can your book inspire young people? Because it is intended for young adults.
Yeah, it is. I think changes are especially hard to deal with in your teenage years. And like when you're a teenager, any lifestyle alteration brings insecurity and uneasy. Basically, you feel like you're leaving your comfort zone to enter unknown territory. Mm-hmm. So that's how you feel like you're a teenager. And I think the novel is about embracing the opportunities that are presented in your life and finding, I think more like finding more about yourself. Mm-hmm. And maybe you think like your life's terrible and you have no opportunity and nothing is happening. And it shows like the opposite, you know, maybe it's about, you know, taking risks and trying something new.
It's about having faith.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Where can someone go to buy your book, get more information about you, and keep up with your latest happenings?
They can actually buy it on Amazon, and they can get more information about me and the book on my website. It's The Chosen of Gaia. It's Gaia, it's GAIA.com. And that's it.
Wonderful. How has writing The Chosen of Gaia impacted you personally?
Well, it definitely improved my English. And I think writing The Chosen of Gaia made me realize that as a writer, we don't need to be fearless. And I think being vulnerable, it plays a strong role in an author's creativity. It helps us to develop deeply human characters with real emotions and natural instincts. I think that's what forms a bond between the readers and the story. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what I learned.
Interesting. So what's next for you?
Well, I'm writing my second book right now. And The Children of Gaia will be soon published in Brazil.
Okay.
And by a great published house, and I'm very, very happy. Traditional way, it's nice. And I think that's what's happening right now.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. As an accomplished individual, what three things can you suggest to encourage others in pursuit of their goals?
I would say work hard, don't give up, and don't let your fears hold you back.
Okay. How has that helped you?
Like I said, it helped me on everything. It's everything. I wouldn't be a lawyer, I wouldn't be a writer, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't be an actress mm-hmm. if I wasn't like that. It's the world is cruel out there, and you have to be strong.
Yeah.
And if you give up, you're actually going to have a life that you don't want to,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're not going to find ways to grow, like to be a better person, to be a better professional, but better, mm-hmm. I don't know, individual.
Right.
You know? And even like I'm not talking about like I want to be a better lawyer or, you know, like mm-hmm. work-wise. I think mm-hmm. actually like you can be a better person too if you take all those things in mind, if you keep mm-hmm. all those things in mind. It's basically we need to constantly watch, I think, what we are saying each other's mm-hmm. and what we are trying to accomplish and not, I don't know, I always try to, you know, live in peace with my friends and coworkers to be, a better person. That's my first goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting because you're right. What you're saying is that when you are a better person, better human being, if you're a lawyer, you become a better lawyer. If you're a writer, you become a better writer, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Exactly. I think everything's connected, you know, mm-hmm. and even like, and if you start like being a better person, you start feeling good about yourself as well, and
yeah.
you start working hard on your things as well, and I think everything's kind of connected, everything kind of ended up pushing, you know, another good thing, and but for me, it's like, even if you don't get a good result, helping your coworker and actually gonna stay, you know, you're gonna waste your time,
mm-hmm.
but you're actually gonna be making someone feeling good about themselves and making someone helping others as well. And I think mm-hmm. that's your society. We have to think like that, you know,
yeah.
we're just not an individual out there. We're mm-hmm. society, and, we have kids and we have, how can we improve our society? How can, you know, become a better society? That's mm-hmm. what I think. We need to start thinking about those kind of things as well.
Very interesting. So how does your parents take your success with the Chosen Agaya and so forth? What are their comments?
Oh, I guess they're happy, especially because, like, now they're going to actually be able to read my book. It's kind of published in Brazil.
right.
So they actually, like, they got mad because they're like, well, okay, I still have no idea what the book is about because I cannot read.
Oh.
Like, of course, they have an idea. Like, I told them what's the mm-hmm. book about.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to read it, and it's
in Portuguese,
good that,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a few months from now, hopefully they're going to be able to read the book in Portuguese and understand what is it about. But they're happy, of course. They are happy because I think, for me, writing this book was very, very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I think as a parent, you need your son or daughter going through a hard moment and still being persistent and still, like, working harder and finding ways to make it happen, I think you feel, like, accomplished, I guess. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I don't know. I think they're happy.
They're obviously proud of you because you made it here in the United States, and obviously now your book is going to be published in Portuguese in Brazil, so
yeah.
that's something that they're going to be very proud of. And one of the things that I've understood over the period of time, our parents are always more proud of ourselves than we are of ourselves. You'd be very surprised.
True, it's true.
By the way, we're coming close to the end of the hour. Since our show is about people, family, and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
I'm not sure if I have a recipe for living. Mm-hmm. I would say, like, for me, what works, it's I usually recommend all my friends, like, exercise at least 3 times a week, and I think it's also important to find time to do things that you like, you know, things that make you feel alive, because you keep, like, usually you work like 8-9 hours a day and you come home and you're tired and you watch TV and you fall asleep and, you know, the week goes by and you feel like you're trapped, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, for me, that's what I do. I find ways to do the things that I like, writing. A lot of people came to me like, how are you going to write a book? It's going to be impossible. You're a lawyer. You work full-time. And I was like, mm-hmm. I'm going to find some time. And so I started writing during lunchtime, during mm-hmm. break time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and after dinner at home, even if it's just like for half an hour. But we have to find, you know, I don't know, find some time to do things that we like. If you like to dance, you know, just go, you know, at least once a week and dance and or play tennis or anything that makes you feel good, you know, mm-hmm. even now. And try to help others. That's what I'm saying. Every day, try to do one thing that you know could help your coworker or a friend or a family. Just even if it's a small thing, but let's try to build a better society.
Wonderful. Sounds to me like you're telling us to invest in ourselves, pursue our mm-hmm. passion, and always make time to do that, because in the end, when we become our better selves, we are actually much more valuable to our friends, our families, and our community.
Exactly. Very well said.
You said it. I didn't. I just summarized it. That's all. Any final thoughts about the Chosen of Gaia?
No, actually. I think we got all covered.
Okay, wonderful. It's great to have you talk about the Chosen of Gaia. And like I say again, in reading the book, I realize there's a lot of you in it in terms of the process that you go through. It is a work of fiction, but no doubt it touches a lot about the human factor, about how we behave as human beings, and whether you like it or not, some time in the future or in a futuristic world and whatnot and so forth, as long as there are differences in us, whether from a perspective of look, intellect, and whatnot, that's where the prejudices comes in or the differences comes in. And we, as humans, we need to understand that we have to live above and beyond that, and being very embracing about, in the end, we're all connected, we're all as one, and we should celebrate the differences rather than find ourselves to be divided because of the differences.
Perfect. Well said again.
Thank you. Well, Marcella, I really enjoyed having you on the radio with me. Thank you very much for the wonderful recipe for living that you have shared with us, and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Dr. Marie Pasinski of Harvard Medical School. A renowned brain expert, Dr. Pasinski is dedicated to increasing public awareness concerning the importance of adopting a brain-healthy lifestyle, as our brain is the true source of our vitality and happiness. Dr. Pasinski and I will be discussing how we can redesign and energize our brain at any age. In collaboration with Chicken Soup for the Soul, her book Boost Your Brain Power reveals personal stories, clear medical advice, and tips on how to improve your memory reduce risk factors for Alzheimer's disease, and stay sharp in your senior years. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. Marcella, thank you again and have a blessed day.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. You too. Have a great week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.